Amen. If you have your Bible, I want you to go to the book of Joshua, chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, a story that I'm sure you're all familiar with, especially if you grew up in Sunday school. Joshua chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass the city, all ye men of war. Go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass, that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him." I want you to notice, "And the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people will go straight ahead." You can be seated tonight. It's easy at times to read the big stories in the Bible, to see the big victories like Joshua and the Battle of Jericho, and overlook all the steps of faith that had to be taken in order to get to that big victory. We like to look at people's lives and listen to their amazing testimonies of how God brought about an incredible victory, but not realizing the steps of faith that it took for that man or woman to believe God in order to receive that testimony in their life. Yes. If you go back just a few chapters to the beginning of the book of Joshua, you will read about the day when Joshua stepped into a brand new place in his life. It was a monumental day in the life of this man. It was the day unlike any day that Joshua had ever faced before. I've always been intrigued by the fact that God looked at the man Joshua on this day and told him 3 times on this very day to be strong and courageous. The first time, God said, "Be strong and of good courage." The second time, God said, "Be strong and very courageous." And the third time God said it, he said it in the form of a question for Joshua to answer for himself. And God said, "Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous?" The man Joshua, he finds himself at a point in his life that I'm sure he never planned to be at. He never planned to reach the point in his life where he expected for Moses not to lead them all the way into the promised land. I don't think he ever expected to live to the day where they were not yet in the promised land. And the Lord speaks to him and says, "Moses, my servant, is dead." Yeah. Moses had spent 40 years in the desert before he went back to Egypt and brought about the deliverance of God's people, only to then spend 40 more years in the wilderness. And Joshua was known as those 40 years as nothing more than the servant of Moses. And all the while, God had been preparing Joshua. It required years of selfless service, training in the deserts, and enduring those tests of faith that were very difficult. But those years were the battleground that were designed to move Joshua ultimately into his position of being the successor of Moses. You cannot skip past the training ground of God. It is designed to make you grow so that you will be able to not be a shallow pool in the kingdom of God. You can't just decide, "God, I don't like the battle that you're taking me through, so I'm not going to fight it." You cannot skip past the places where God is trying to teach you and mold you and make you grow, because those places might just be turning you in to a Joshua that is able to step in to the place that you never expected to step into.
Yes. Good.
Moses was a very tough act to follow, and I am sure that there but Joshua could never measure up to being Moses, the leader. Moses had held a rod up over the Red Sea and God had parted it. Moses had spoke to a rock and water came out of that rock. Moses had made a brass serpent and everyone who looked on it lived when God sent a plague in amongst the people. Moses talked with God, was sheltered in the cleft of a rock. As the glory of God passed by, that man, Joshua, he was a minister to Moses. But now God comes to Joshua and he says, Moses is dead and it's time for you to get up, Joshua. I've had that experience in my own life when my mentor, my Elijah, went to heaven, my mama Loretta. I literally had a man of God look at me and say, Moses is now dead and it is your turn to stand up and do everything that you were trained by God to do. The promised land stood in front of the Israelites. The promise of 40 long years, the place that God had promised to bring them into. They were right on the border of this promise. Is anybody holding on to a promise from God and you feel like that you have held on to it for so long and you feel like that somehow you are closer to this promise than you have ever been before? You're right there on the border of that promise. It stood in front of them and it offered them a great bounty. But at the same time, you hear me tonight, at the same time that the bounty of the land of Jericho was in front of them, it offered them some very serious enemies and some very imposing threats. We've been there. We've got a promise from God waiting, but an enemy to fight on the way to the promise. And it gets tough sometimes to hold on to the promise when the walls are in front of you. But Joshua being able to lead those people into the promised land was not contingent on the good opinion of the people, thinking that he had the ability to lead them. It was not contingent on Moses going with that man. The only thing it was contingent on is whether or not he had heard from God and God was going with him. If God told you, if God himself spoke to your spirit three times and said, be strong and courageous, and not only that, but very courageous, Pastor, if God began to say that to you, it would make you wonder just exactly what is it that you're about to ask me to step into here. Have you ever been there? You know God is taking you to a new place in your walk with him. You said yes, and then you start wondering, what is it exactly that I've gotten myself into?
Yeah, that's right. Come on.
Of course you have, because we are all human. We cannot see things from God's perspective. We cannot see the whole picture. And it is in that moment that you must not allow yourself to be pushed into taking a moral or a spiritual shortcut. Your weakness, your lack, or even your strengths will rear their head and try to make you focus on them instead of what God is trying to take you into. How many of you have ever known that you were on your way toward something that God was doing, but your weakness and your inferiority always tries to get you to focus on it instead of what God is wanting to do? And even though Joshua the man was a warrior and he had led the people in battles and that they had won, even though he was a mighty man of warrior, God was not coming to that man and addressing his physical strength. Physical strength will not carry you when everything that the devil is throwing at you is coming your way. Your biceps are not going to lead you into a place of victorious living. God is only talking about that inner strength that comes from knowing him. That strength that cannot be bought. It cannot be worked up. It's an unusual strength because it's a strength that you cannot rely on yourself to provide.
That's right. Yes.
Physical strength is all about you and what you can do. But this inner strength cannot be provided by you. We know this. We quote it all the time. We say, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. We say to ourselves that the Bible Joshua had to rely. He had to rely on that physical strength that he had to literally fight with the enemies. But as Joshua, the successor to Moses, he had to have more than that. And that is what God was calling to rise up on the inside of him. He had to live by that strength to be able to lead people in against the Hivites, the Jebusites, the Girgashites, all of those names that we pass over when we're reading the Word of God. Those were literal enemies that stood in the way of the people of God. And he had to defy his own insecurities. You hear me right now? That one would try to scream in his ear or whisper in the night to him, "You are not Moses. You have not done the miracles like Moses did. How will you lead the people like Moses did when you are not Moses?" There was no shortcut for Joshua to be able to find to get those people across the Jordan and past Jericho. There was no bridge for them to cross. There was only God's way and God's strength. And God's way required stepping into something called a what if. What if, and just doing what God said, knowing within himself that God said, "I will be with you the same way that I was with Moses." And then he had to just keep on walking in the power of that strength. We want to walk in the glory of God. We want to be able to witness the miraculous. But somehow, in the recesses of our mind, we have made ourselves think that in order for the glory to happen, that we ourselves have to be in a powerful place, a strong place, a happy place, so we can worship our way into a victorious place. And if the only thing that you hear from this message tonight, I want you to hear this point number one. Worship does not have to be comfortable.
Yes.
Worship does not have to be comfortable.
It's good. Yes.
Everything does not have to be right in my life for me to worship my way into the glory of God.
That's right. Come on.
I don't even have to feel good.
Yeah. Amen. That's
true.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes. Good preaching.
For me to worship, I don't even have to feel confident in order for God's victory to have its effect in my life. Because I'll be very honest with you, I sat on that pew right here tonight before church. I'm about 8 weeks pregnant, and the last 8 weeks have been really, really rough on me physically. I sat on that bench and told my husband, "I have no strength. I have no strength to do this. All I know is the only thing that I can rely on is if when I get to that pulpit, his strength rises up on the inside of me."
Yes.
That's the only thing that will cause me to be able to preach the word to the people of God tonight. It is a difficult task, but all I know is when I surrender and I remember who God is, worship comes easily. When I remember that I cannot allow my emotions to overcome my faith, you will have emotions. Mm-hmm. It's what you do with them will either keep you stuck on the brink of a compromise, or it'll keep cause you to go walking into the promise of God.
Yes.
Your worship does not have to be comfortable. And number two, you cannot conquer if you compromise.
Right.
Good. I said you cannot conquer if you compromise.
That's good. Yes.
Whoever it is in this room that's got a wall in front of you, you hear me tonight. You will never conquer that wall if you compromise.
Right.
Joshua had the opportunity after opportunity to compromise during those 40 years. And as hard as it is sometimes, I'm grateful that the Holy Ghost causes me to live what I preach and preach what I live.
Yes.
Because I cannot be a successful minister. I cannot communicate to you a message unless I first know the message within myself.
Yes.
And one thing that I do know is that I have walked with Jesus through enough yesterdays to trust him with all of my tomorrows.
Yes, amen. Good.
I've come to learn that through those yesterdays, that if there was nothing to be gained, there would be no battle. If there was nothing to be gained, there would be no battle. And that in itself has caused me to be courageous on the battlefield. There would be no point in fighting against something just to fight it. Just to fight it, and to be like the Bible describes as one that beats the air.
Yes.
There's got to be a purpose for the fight, a victory, a game. Yes. And that game is going to either be in your enemy's hands or in your hands.
Right.
Is there something standing in your way? Something that you don't have victory over? What wall is it that you are needing the Holy Ghost to bring down for you?
Yes.
For Joshua and the Israelites, it was the walls of Jericho. This prosperous and heavily fortified city was the gateway to their promise. And after wandering around the wilderness for 40 years, the Israelites were finally on the doorstep. It would be a new beginning and a place to call their own. But first, these walls had to come down. To defeat a kingdom with two massive walls, two sets of massive walls and securely barred gates.
Yes.
It must have seemed like an impossible task. They must have felt like tiny ants walking next to those walls. But we know that what resulted from their obedience was one of the most incredible victories that was ever recorded in the Word of God. Walls do fall.
Yes.
But before they could see that victory, hear me tonight, Joshua's obedience and worship became very uncomfortable before he got the wall to fall. His worship became very uncomfortable, and he had to choose not to compromise before he could go and win a wall-conquering victory. He had to get those people across the Jordan. The priest had to be obedient to the words that Joshua gave them, and they had to start out walking into the waters of the Jordan with the Ark of God on their shoulders. See, this wasn't Moses. The waters did not part first like they did with Moses when he held his rod up over that Red Sea. You know there had to be people who had that thought pop into their mind, making them want to compromise, making them want to doubt, making them want to worship God without having to walk headlong into the waters of the Jordan. But sometimes worship is uncomfortable before the victory comes. Did you hear me? I said sometimes worship is uncomfortable before that victory comes. And you cannot win that victory if you compromise when it's uncomfortable. Can you imagine when the first toe of Joshua's foot touched the ground on the other side of that river? Can you imagine what had to have risen up on the inside of him when he realized that he had just led those people across that river? He had led them obediently across the Jordan. And the Bible says that in Joshua chapter 4, that on that day, after he had already crossed the Jordan, the Bible says that the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him the same way that they feared Moses all the days of his life. They didn't revere him before he went across that Jordan. But after he went across, it got uncomfortable for Joshua first. But because God is God, the victory was on its way. And now there they are, ready to go up against the walls that were in their way of the promise of God. What? I'm here to ask you tonight. I don't care how much my voice fights against me. I'm here to ask you tonight. What is causing you to stay stuck on that side of Jordan? Your insecurities, the things that you call your inabilities, the mess ups from your past, the excuse that it's uncomfortable to worship and obey God when everybody knows who you are and what you've done will never be a valid reason for staying where you are. I said the excuse that it's uncomfortable to worship God because everybody knows everything about you will never be a reason to stay where you are. What is it that causes you not to be able to forge ahead with God in strength and courage? Is it compromise? Are you compromising in an area where you know in your heart that God has already told you to do differently?
Yes. Amen.
Worship does not have to be comfortable.
Yes.
Does not have to be comfortable, and you will not conquer that wall if you compromise.
Correct. Yes, ma'am.
And the third thing that you got to know is that you have to focus on your king instead of the wall that has been built.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes.
If you concentrate on the trial, you concentrate on the burden, the battle that you're facing today, if you focus on how uncomfortable it is, your problem will only appear insurmountable to you. But if you begin to focus on the greatness of God, that problem immediately begins to shrink. You read in the Word of God all the things about God. Isaiah chapter 40, he begins to describe God, and he said, "Who has measured in the hollow of his hand, meted out the heavens with a span? Who and comprehended the dust of the earth, weighed the mountains in scales and hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him? Who, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, are counted as small as the dust of the balance. He taketh up the islands as a very little thing." Focusing on who he is changes your perspective. And perspective is exactly what we lack when we are in the middle of life's troubles. We tend to lose sight of everything else, and all we see are the huge obstacles, the walls that are surrounding us and standing in our way. It causes us to feel helpless and hopeless and defeated.
Yes, yes.
You know that God could have brought down Jericho with a snap of his finger.
Right. Yes.
Part of us probably thinks that he should have. Kind of makes us want to pat Joshua on the back a little bit and say, "Man, I feel you, man.
Yeah.
You've been fighting out there in the desert for 40 years. If you really think about it, Moses is dead. Joshua has to step up and get really uncomfortable. Lead them into and across Jordan. Take them into a time of bloody circumcision and pain. They are at the banks of their promise, and they are more uncomfortable than they have ever been in their entire life. God could have snapped his fingers, sucked the breath out of all of their enemies living in Jericho, made those walls fall, but he chose a different way. And when God establishes a pattern in his word, it never changes. It is the same today as it was then. Throughout the word of God, you see many, many strange requests. God told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, his only son, after promising to make him a great nation. God told Naaman, the leper, to go dip in a nasty, filthy, dirty, muddy river in order to be clean. Before a critical battle, he basically told Gideon, "You have too many men. Cut them down to 300. And Jesus told his disciples to leave everything that they knew and follow him.
Yes.
Right.
There's no doubt about it. Worshiping God can get really, really uncomfortable, because worship is not defined as coming into this room and lifting your hands for 5 minutes and singing some songs as Brother Chris leads you into the presence. That is not the definition of worship. Worship is living a life that is holy and acceptable unto God, and worshiping God. do fall.
Yes.
But it might get uncomfortable first.
Yeah.
You might think about compromising. You will have to change your perspective, but walls do fall.
Yes.
They do come down, but don't allow yourself to overlook all of the small, faithful steps that it takes to get to that place where God brings that wall down. The Israelites have been walking in the desert for 40 years. That's 14,600 days of putting one foot in front of the other. You think you've been at it a long time. Putting one foot in front of the other, not knowing when we're going to reach the promise, not knowing when we're going to get to that place. They finally arrive at Jericho, which is on the edge of their promised land. And God tells them to walk for 7 more days.
Come on. Yeah.
They've been walking for 40 years. And God tells them to walk 7 more days. Brother Chris, that paints such a powerful image in my mind of trust and obedience and perseverance and consistency after you think that you've walked as long as you can and you think you've believed as hard as you can, and God comes by and says, I'm taking into credit the last 14,600 days that you walked, but now I need you to walk for 7 more days.
Yeah.
Put yourself in their sandals for just a moment. They are standing in the shadow of a huge obstacle with a battle plan that doesn't make any sense.
Right, exactly. Yes.
The first few days are probably okay, but what if by the 5th or 6th day a few of the soldiers got tired of it? This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Nothing is happening.
Yeah.
This doesn't make sense. We're just walking around this wall. Let's stop this nonsense. There always comes a time when you're facing your wall. There always comes a point in that journey where it's tempting to quit. You are tempted to stop praying. You are tempted to stop believing. You're throwing up your hands and, God, I've done everything that I can. I've done all that I know to do. I'm done. And God says, I need you to walk 7 more days.
7 more days. Yeah.
Every day, step after step, day after day. Maybe for some of them, it was even hour after hour that they chose to trust God. One more hour until that day of walking was finished. But you already know what happened. The walls came down. We go back and read stories like this and we say, man, why can't we see something like that now? Why doesn't God do incredible, amazing things like that anymore? So people would know that there was a God. But really, because I know of an impenetrable fortress in America that recently, in the last year, had walls crumbling. The people of God had been circling it for years. They had prayed and wept. Many of them had even walked physically. They had served God faithfully, walking around this wall in silence, fasting, a voice unheard by the enemy, but heard in heaven. Walls do fall, because the Jericho wall that I'm speaking of is called the Supreme Court of our nation. Who would have thought it that the seat of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, liberal advocate and defender of the great American Holocaust, would be filled with a conservative Christian woman who believes in the Constitution of the United States. Oh yeah, God is still God, and walls do still fall, even if it takes a long time for us to see the fulfillment of what we are praying for.
Amen. Yes.
Walls do fall.
Amen.
Would you stand to your feet tonight? What is it? What is it that you are seeing, even in your own children, that's causing you to lose heart? I came to tell you tonight to be strong and very courageous.
Yes.
And You let the enemy know that this wall will not stand forever. Will not. It may feel uncomfortable on your way toward this place where the wall falls.
Preach.
But you know that within yourself, you say tonight, I will not compromise.
Will not compromise.
Will not. What is it that you're losing heart over in your marriage? It's causing you to wonder if you will make it. I came to tell you tonight by the Holy Ghost to be strong and very courageous and let the enemy know that this wall is going to come down. I will keep walking in the faithfulness, focused on my King and keeping the ark of his presence at the center of where I'm walking.
Yes.
What is it that you're losing hope over? You're losing hope over in your health. In your family, in that person that you're praying for.
Yes.
This wall in your own life, this thing that you cannot get the victory over. I know by the Holy Ghost I'm talking to somebody.
Uh-huh.
This wall that feels impossible to you.
Yes.
Came tonight to tell you, be strong.
Be strong.
And very courageous.
Very courageous.
Walls,
yes,
still fall.
Yes.
Would you lift your hands and close your eyes? Some of you are facing walls that nobody even knows about. You feel like they have been built in front of you and around you, and you cannot get. You feel like you can't even get to the promise of God because of the walls that have been built. All you can feel is how uncomfortable it is. All you can think about is that God may not know where you are. He may not even know what you're up against. But the Holy Ghost sent me in here tonight, the first night of revival, to tell you to be faithful to God. To walk with Him, even if you're uncomfortable. To worship, even if it scares the life out of you. To focus on your King. Change your perspective. And God will take care of bringing down those walls. If you're in this room and I have spoken to you by the Holy Ghost, I want you to make your way to an altar and let God begin to bring down the walls in your life. You say, God, I need some help. Lord, I need some help in my life. There are walls that I want to see come down.
Come on.
I see you coming. Come on.
Come on.
From all over this room.